And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at the 5th verse. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 556 of your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. It's time to tell the kingdom story. It's time to tell the kingdom story. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Jesus began the very start of his ministry by describing the mission that he had been given. He went back to Nazareth where he had been brought up and stood in a synagogue one day and read the very words that Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would declare. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus then closed his ministry by passing that mission on to us. When he rose from the grave, Jesus gave this commission to his followers. From Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." On that authority, Jesus sent those of us who are his followers out to tell the story of God's love. The love of God is the message of the kingdom. And our mission is to carry out Jesus' mission. Our mission is to tell God's story. Our mission is to go out with the message of the kingdom and to take it to all the people that we can reach. It started with Israel, but our mission is to the whole world. We must go out to the people of this world because it's time for the kingdom message to be heard. And it's urgent that we get this message out. But you ask, why is it so urgent for this message to go out at this time? Well, the answer is in the Word of God. So let's turn to the Word to discover the urgency of proclaiming the kingdom message. Looking at the text again, beginning at verse 7, Jesus said, "As you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers." We must go out with the kingdom message because it's time for the sick to get well. It's time for the sick to get well. Jesus gave his disciples the power to perform the same miracles that he had performed. And healing the sick was a great symbol of the power of God. When you heal someone of an incurable disease, you get their attention. So Jesus gave the disciples the power to heal sickness and disease. But the message of the kingdom was not that physical sickness was going to vanish from the earth. That was not the promise of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom was that God had sent Jesus to provide a recovery path for those afflicted with the sickness called sin. Sin debilitates, sin cripples, sin handicaps people so they cannot do what they should do. They cannot do what they need to do. Even if they know what they should do, a sin affliction will keep you from doing what you know you should do. You hear folks saying, I know I should do better, but I just can't stop doing what I've been doing. For that's what sin does. It weakens you so that you cannot do what you should do. Fathers don't do what fathers should do because sin has given them other priorities. Mothers don't do what mothers should do because sin has them busy with other activities. Children do not listen to their parents because sin is pumping other ideas into their hearts and into their minds. Sin sickness has many forms. Drug addiction is one, but it's only one. You can be addicted to many things. You can be addicted to lying, addicted to gossip, addicted to backbiting, addicted to cheating and dishonesty in general. Addicted to selfishness, that's one of the greatest sins. Addicted to greediness, laziness, addicted to fear and hatred. All of these things have their roots in the addiction to sin that runs through human nature. Jesus came to overcome that sin addiction that we all have. That is the message of the kingdom. That you don't have to suffer any longer from the symptom of sin because there is a cure, and the cure is available. The sickness that Jesus sent his disciples out to cure was the sickness called sin. And I know that because Jesus said that. The Pharisees criticized Jesus for hanging out with sinners all the time. And Jesus had to remind them that that was the reason he came, to go where sinners were and to heal them. In Mark chapter 2, verse 15, the text reads, Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus hung out with sinners because they had the sickness he came to cure. Jesus hung out with sinners because they needed to hear the kingdom message to get well. And the Pharisees and scribes needed to hear it also, but they thought they were well, so they didn't hear the message. Jesus hung out with sinners because they needed to hear God's story instead of Satan's story. The world in which we live, the society, the community in which we live is full of sick folks, full of sinners. And we need to go out and tell them about the kingdom of God. You don't have to go to Africa to be a missionary. Just go home. Just go where you live and tell folks living around you about what it's like to live for God. We need to go out with the kingdom message because it's time for the sick to get well. But there is more in the charge that Jesus gave to his disciples as he sent them out. Listen as the Lord instructs them and us about taking the kingdom message out to the people. Looking at that seventh verse again, it says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. We must go out with the kingdom message because it's time for the dead to come alive. It's time for the dead to come alive. The entertainment industry currently has a fascination with zombies. There are movies about zombies, TV series about zombies, commercials about zombies. And I'm sick and tired of seeing zombies, sick of being entertained by zombies. A zombie is supposed to be a dead person who can still move around and do things, bad things to living people. And I'm sick of seeing zombies on TV because I see too many real zombies walking around in real life. People who are dead on the inside, walking around doing bad things to other people. And I'm tired of seeing zombies because I used to be a zombie. And I don't want to go back there. Now, don't look surprised, you used to be a zombie too. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, let me bring in my good friend Paul to explain. Listen as Paul explains it to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. As Paul speaks to the church, he reminds them they were all walking dead until Christ made them alive. They did the bidding of Satan by habit, by nature. They didn't even think about it. It was just what we did before the light of Christ came into our lives. And you notice that Paul says we all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh and were by nature the children of wrath. Now that's significant because before Paul was converted, he was a Pharisee. He was one of those who claimed to be the keepers of perfect keepers of God's law. But Paul confessed now that he was a prisoner of his sin nature, just like everyone else. And that goes for all of us as well. The sickness of sin, like so many other sicknesses, will make you dead if you don't get cured. Dead to the things of God. Dead to the good things of life. Dead to the love that sustains life. Dead to the beauty of life. But the message of the kingdom is that God does not want zombies walking around. God wants you to have life. God wants you to be full of life. He doesn't want to just ration life to you. God wants you to have abundant life. And Jesus explains this in the Gospel of John with such directness that no one can misunderstand it. Listen to what Jesus said about the life that we should have. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The abundant life means that you no longer spend your days chasing dead things like lust and wealth and power or fame. Look at the lives of those people who have achieved all those things, how empty their lives are. But the abundant life says that you seek after things like and appreciate things like love and joy and peace. The abundant life allows you to receive those things and appreciate them, and God gives you more of that. But if you're dead like a zombie, you won't even notice those things. You'll walk right past it, chasing, looking after, looking for something else. Unless you let Jesus bring God's abundance into your life, you will walk through this life like a zombie and miss the truly precious thing that God wants to bring into your life. But you keep yourself busy trying to chase after the worthless things. I'm reminded of a scene in a football game that I watched many years ago that illustrated this point so clearly. It was a Packer game, and this was during the 30-year drought that the Packers had between the championships of the 60s and the championships of the 90s. In between there, they lost a lot of games. In fact, some years they had more losses than they did victories, and this is one of those years. But it was a real close game right down to the last few seconds, and the Packers had a lead, and all they had to do was stop the other team from scoring, and they could hold on and win this game, one of the few that they win. But the other team had the ball, and they were moving down, getting into scoring position. And they were at the goal line, and it was time for just one more play. If they got the ball in, they won, but if the Packers had stopped them, they would win. So as the ball was snapped, all 22 players came together in this big huddle, pushing against one another. The 11 players on the other team were trying to push it across the line. The 11 Packers trying to push it back. So one big ball was there pushing against each other. And then something happened that nobody saw except the referee and the cameraman. As they were pushing, the ball popped out and laid over in the back of the end zone. And everybody was still pushing. And the referee saw it, but he couldn't say anything, so he just stood watching it, waiting for somebody to jump on it. And everybody just kept pushing. And then finally, one of the Packers that was pushing to try to keep him out looked over the corner of his eye and saw the ball. And for a second, it didn't register. He just kept pushing. And then it registered him what he saw over there. And he ran and jumped on the ball, and the Packers won. That illustrates that sometimes it's so hard pushing in life that the important things will be laying elsewhere, but we got to keep pushing this way because that's what we've been doing for so long. The important things will slip past us, and we won't recognize them, and we'll let them go past. We need to focus ourselves on the good things of life, the things that God has presented to us, and they may not be before us. We may have to look to see where God has placed them. So we need to keep our eyes open for the things in this life that God wants to bring into our life to give us that abundance. And Jesus told us it's all about our priorities. Keep your priorities right with God, and he'll make sure that you have the things in the right place. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus explained this again. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus wants us to go out with the same message that he gave to those first disciples. And for the same reason, the people need to hear God's story. So we must go out with the kingdom message because it's time for the dead to come alive. But Jesus had more to say to as he sent his disciples out. The people needed more help. Looking at that seventh verse again, he says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We must go out with the kingdom message because it's time for the slaves to be set free. It's time for the slaves to be set free. When the scriptures describe the act of Jesus when he was casting out demons, it is described as if he had freed a person from slavery or bondage, because that's what it truly was. Today there are many people who are enslaved to demonic habits and demonic attitudes that disrupt everything good that God tries to bring into their lives. And we, some of us, are too sophisticated today to talk about demons possessing people, but I believe that the evil one sends spirits into our hearts and to our minds to try to counter the things that God is trying to do with us. And we may not recognize it, but when we yield our minds and our thoughts to evil, to malice, to hatred, to envy, and a host of other things, we allow ourselves to become slaves to Satan. In addition to that, I truly believe that sometimes the devil gets a hold on people so hard and so strongly that they do things so horrible that they can't accept what they've done. And when they step back and look at it, they take their own life. We see so much of that happening day by day. People are caught in the moment, do something so horrible that they're shocked by it, they have to kill themselves. That's Satan just coming over and taking grab of a person and devouring them. And the Apostle Peter warned us about that in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't let Satan devour your life. Keep yourself in the hands of God. God can protect you from all the wiles of the devil, but you got to stay close to him. Don't let the devil devour you. Seek shelter in God. The kingdom message is that there is safety only in God, and you're totally safe once you wrap hands and lock hands in God, because Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of my Father's hands. But let me close with Paul's explanation of the choice that we have, either to be a servant of sin or a servant of God. Paul made this explanation in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. He said, but God be thanks that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's gift has set me free. I will not go back to the slavery that sin held me in. I will not go back. And we need to be resolute in our conviction about that as we walk with God. Because although we've been free from the power of sin, it's so easy for us to go back and put the chains on our shelf all over again, because we know that path all too well. And Satan is a jealous slave master. He doesn't want to see any of his slaves escape. So you need to tell Satan that you're not coming back. Tell Satan what Jesus told him. Say, get behind me, Satan, because I'm walking with God. And I need to warn you, church, that the devil doesn't want you to be free. God wants you to be free, but the devil doesn't. God freed you from guilt. The devil keeps bringing up your failures. God has freed you from doubt, but the devil whispered doubt into your ear every time a problem pops up in your life. The devil says, are you sure God loves you? God freed you from worry, but the devil whispered in your ear, God may not help you this time. God has freed you from fear, but the devil whispers, something may happen that God didn't plan for. The devil's a liar. If you listen to the devil, you'll become his slave, even though God has already set you free. God has set me free. I will not put on the shackles of guilt over things that I've confessed with God. God has set me free. I would not put on the shackles of fear about the ability of God to keep me from danger. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. God has set me free. I will not put on the shackles of doubt about the love that God has for me. God let his son die on the cross for me. I know that God loves me. I'm not going to doubt the love of God. So we must go out with the kingdom message because it's time for the slaves to be set free. It's time for the slaves to be set free. And now we return to the question with which we started. Why is it so important that we go forth with this kingdom message? Well, we must go out because the people need to hear the message. The people need to hear the message. We must go out because it's time for the kingdom to take hold in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. It's time for us to tell the kingdom story. So many people in this world are living in fear and doubt and despair. But God has another story that he wants us to tell. God wants them to live by faith. The Bible said, the just shall live by faith. God wants us to tell the kingdom story. We live in a world in which so many people have decided to live only for today with no regard for the consequences of tomorrow. Eat, drink, and be merry, they say, for tomorrow we die. But it's time to tell the kingdom story. According to the kingdom story, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's God's story. Some people, on the other hand, feel as though life was meant to be a drudgery with no joy, no fulfillment. It's time to tell the kingdom story. The kingdom story, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it in abundance. That's God's story. And some people believe that if they got off to the wrong start in life, if they made some mistakes, that they will never get over the sins of their past. It's time to tell the kingdom story. According to the kingdom story, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's God's story. That's God's story. To a world in which people remember the debts of others for a lifetime, God sent his Holy Son to wipe our slate clean. To wipe our slate clean. God sent his Son to set us free. That is the kingdom story. The world is full of darkness because of the lies that have been put forth. And more lies are coming forth every day. We need to call people from darkness into God's marvelous light. We need to tell God's story. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell God's story. I'm going to tell it to my friends. I'm going to tell it to my enemies. I'm going to tell it to the young. I'm going to tell it to the old. I'm going to tell it to the rich. I'm going to tell it to the poor. I'm going to tell it to the great and the small. I'm going to tell God's story until death shakes this frame. I'm going to tell the kingdom story. I'm going to tell it. What about you? It's prayer time in the church. In just a moment, we're going to have the altar call. But now, as the congregation stands and the choir comes, it's time to prepare our hearts and minds to walk in God's kingdom. God has called us to be part of his kingdom. And he has called us to be kingdom workers, to go out and take this message out to the world. To do that, you need to settle some things in your own heart with God. So this is the time to prepare your heart to speak to God. Speak now as we prepare to come and open it up to God. Ask God to remove those things that's stopping you from doing his will. Bring before the Lord all those things that have shackled you and bound. Tell God to take Satan off your back. Tell God to take worry out of your heart. Tell God to take doubt and fear out of your heart. Ask God to just bless you with his spirit.